invite your attention this afternoon to Matthew chapter 5. And I hope, really, that this will be more of a discussion than a sermon this afternoon. And I feel like that we can have a good discussion because within our small group there's no lack of opinions. Really, I mean that in a very good way. I'm sincere though, in saying that I do. I mean that in a good way, because within our small group, there are convictions, and I can always, even when I disagree with someone, if I perceive that there is conviction in what he believes, I respect that. But for the most part, I'm very, very happy to say that most of our convictions seem to run parallel with one another or in agreement with one another. But I do think that it's good, of course, to have conviction, because a person can't have convictions unless he's thoughtful. A person that never gives any thought to anything, is impossible for him to be convicted about anything. What I want to do, I just want us to look at, really, the last part of verse 45 to start off with in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5:45, in the last part he says, "For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." Why doesn't God just send the rain on the just and not the unjust? Why doesn't he just send the sunshine on the just and on the not the unjust? Now, of course, that can be taken two different ways. We were talking earlier, and around the table, something was said about, well, you better enjoy your sweet potatoes because been too much rain, there's going to be a shortage of them. Well, in that sense, the rain's not all that good, is it? At least not for the sweet potato growers. We were coming back from Wisconsin, driving through some cotton country, and there's these cotton fields out there, it's white with cotton, but you could tell that there'd been a lot of rain on it. Whenever the cotton's ready to be harvested, it's not good to have rain on it. It not only will destroy a lot of it, but it takes the grade. It brings the grade down. So rain is not always good, is it? On the other hand, couldn't do without it, could you? There wouldn't be any cotton at all if it hadn't been for the rain. No sweet potatoes at all if it hadn't been for the rain. Same thing is true with the sunshine. Sometimes sunshine's good. Whenever it's a cold day out there, boy, I love to see the sunshine. On the other hand, when it's an extremely hot day, sunshine's not so good, is it? Same thing with the crops. If it wasn't for the sunshine, there'd be no crops. But if too much sunshine, and there's not any crops either, is there? Or at least it greatly diminishes them. But my question is, I guess, on this, or my thoughts is, you know, sometimes God allows people that are evil to do things that are evil. You know, I read where the apostle says, for instance, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Why does God allow that? Oftentimes, and all we have to do really is look around us to see this, that God bless, seems like at least he blesses the evil worker. Why does he do that? I think so often of the 73rd Psalm, where David said, you know, when I considered the prosperity of the wicked, my feet well nigh slipped. And I think of Job in the 21st chapter of Job. He said, wherefore do the wicked live? Become old, yea, are mighty in power. Their seed is established in their sight with them, and their offspring before their eyes. Their houses are safe from fear, neither is the rod of God upon them. Their bull gendereth and faileth not, their cow calveth and casteth not her calf, and so forth and so on. You know, and I think of David, and I think of how he so much desired to build God's house, to build the temple. I don't think there was anything in David's life that he desired more than to build the house of God. Yeah. Okay. But yet, God didn't allow him to build that house. You know, I believe with all my heart that David had God's glory in his mind and in his heart when he wanted to build that house. I don't think David wanted to build that house for his own glory. I think he wanted to do it for God, and yet God would not allow him to build that house. Do you understand what I'm getting at? I guess to carry it to a more personal place or state. As I search my own heart, hopefully by the grace and mercy of God, to be honest, you know, there are many things that I fervently pray for. And my Bible tells me, James records, and he says that, you know, the fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. But many of the things that I pray for, even though I believe with all of my heart, from the depth of my soul, that I seek God's glory, and as I look at it, you know, I believe, I can't see how that God would not be glorified in answering that prayer the way that I have asked it. And yet it seems that he withholds. Why? Is it, or do y'all have that same, do you have that same experience? And yet, on the other hand, I hear people testify how that they have prayed, and God answers their prayer. And for the life of me, I can't see how that the answer to that prayer would really glorify God. I don't see how the people that are praying are glorifying God. And so it's sometimes it seems like there's a contradiction there. And yet I read the Scripture just like we have just read in Matthew chapter 5, and I know that God sends the rain on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on both the just and the unjust. But, you know, again, why, and especially, I guess in my own heart and mind, you know, I sometimes wonder, why, Lord, do you not give me the things that I pray for when it seems so evident that if you did, it would magnify your mercy, it would magnify your grace, it would magnify your power, it would magnify your glory. And sometimes, you know, I have to be honest, sometimes I really get to wonder, Lord, why? But what's the answer? We can take it again. Maybe politics enters into the business. Why is it that which is so evidently right is denied, and that which it is so evidently wrong takes place? From a political standpoint, some things seem so clear. For instance, why does God allow these people to murder these babies the way that they do? Could he stop that? He could, too. I mean, at an instant, he could. In fact, just like he did in Moses' day, when they opposed Moses, God opened up the ground and it swallowed up those rebels. Pardon? Yes. I mean, God stopped that just like that. Why didn't he do that today? Why didn't he just open up the ground and swallow up all of these rebels?
Give me much comfort. But my only answer is that in order to the things that he's written in the Revelation, he's got to have all these things come to pass. Only in the eye. Now, whether that's the right one or not, that's the only conclusion that I've been able to come to. I've got to go down this road in order for him to fulfill the prophecy. It's hard on me right now because the question is, why? I've been bombarded with this. That's the problem. I've been robbed twice. Had a baby coming along. Not sure how I'm going to have it. I'm looking towards it. My salary hasn't come through this year.
The story that Joel is telling, I'm hearing every day from different people from my own family. We don't understand it. And I'm sure you don't understand. The Lord is sovereign. He will do as he pleases. When he pleases, and it may not always please us, but he knows the reasons. He doesn't have to tell us the reasons. But still, we still want to. These people that are prospering so they're lost. Life is like a vapor. We're going to enjoy it for a season. We're going to enjoy life with him for an eternity. So, this is short lived. Still be afraid. I understand.
Well, I lay at 2 Joel, but maybe for a good place, because he's going to be very deep and bound. He is right.
So, that's...
The word must in the scripture, to me, there are situations that are going to happen. And we don't know what all those situations are. So we need to be careful about using the word God. Because it doesn't have to happen just like we feel like it ought to. It's going to all happen just like the Lord wants it to please Him and glorify Him. How do you overcome that? You can't.
does got to do one.
Do what, brother?
God does got to do one. He's got to be true.
He's glorifying too.
And he will not. He will not do one. And you feel you see us do it for the little cause. When you deal with the prosperity of the religion, it's like perfect caring and commitment. And keeping that care and when you use it in the religion, do prosper. That's simply solidifying the determination of part of your heart. Psalm 37 says, only the person who looks at it.
Yeah. Right.
The Spirit of God moved over this chaotic world. That blood is shed. Now, when it happened in history, it was a
right.
But it wasn't going to fail in history.
Right.
And what we're looking forward to in heaven is not going to fail. And this matter of God being glory, He's going to get the glory to the
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit. I don't think God has ever failed to answer prayer out there. I don't think He's ever failed to answer.
Did you tell you that they lost their state?
Mm-hmm.
And you see these people possibly purpose from this stuff. I mean, they can't live with that.
Okay.
I've learned to live with that. And you talk about free, like that you said, well, it don't make any difference whether it rains or it don't rain.
That's right.
That's free. I don't know about that's what Joe's talking about the first time. But did he come that way and he talked to him?
Mm-hmm.
So he believed God. And God said the gospel. What does God give a testimony about me? That's
well,
sometimes we use these theological terms. Like I saw with other folks that day, he told me he was just trying to glorify God. It's not perfect for him, but it's a little verse of the Bible. Secondly, you and I could win to glorify God. We could find him that way. And our cousin picked up our dead corpse and called us down.
That's true. I think of Abraham and when he says he hoped against hope. It's an amazing thing.
But
let God do whatever seemeth to him good. I guess that's one of the reasons that I'm bringing this subject up is because that we are so close to many, many dangers and trials that we have never, never, ever even thought about experiencing. And so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the thing that, again, that I listen to all these, like these talk show hosts and stuff like that, the Rush Limbaughs and the Glenn Beck and, you know, all those. And this country is, you know, I'm amazed at how many people there are in this nation that seem to see, you know, the truth of all these things that I'm talking about politically speaking. But it doesn't seem to make any difference.
Well, it comes to biblical faith.
Right.
They will not
be to God. And that's where that's the only salvation of this country. Righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is reproach to any people. But then again, on the other hand, I guess I'm. Am I? Can I say I'm just being human? I think more so than I realize. But some things, you know, you want, you desire. I guess I'd like the word desire better than just want, because want sounds too much to me like just lustful, you know, excitement. But there are some things that I so much desire. We often use the term, well, I can taste it. And yet, as I said before, as I searched my heart, tried to search my heart by the grace and mercies of God, I can't see how it would not glorify His name. And yet it seems that it does not please God, or at least it hasn't to this point. Pardon? At least that. But then, right. Well, that again, that's the thing that chastises my heart many times, is because, you know, I hear the Lord saying, you ought always to pray and not to faint. And I hear him asking this question in that context. When the Lord comes again, will He find faith on the earth? Yeah, they're praying, and God is saying, "Wait, just a little, just a while." Yes, they are saying, "Avenge us." How long, Lord, until you avenge us? Well, I mean, yeah, we didn't have read many of the Psalms if we. So. But I guess one of my things is that, you know, is we need to think about these things from more than just a theological standpoint. These things are, this is a real world that we live in, and it's real situations that we face. And, you know, whenever, especially it comes to the souls of people, beginning with our own families. I mean, it's a thing of eternity. It's not just a day or a year or whatever. It's an eternity. And, you know, sometimes you ask yourself, or I ask myself, Lord, you know, I understand that the wicked must perish to the glory of God, just like J.T. read a while ago out of Romans chapter 9. But then, on the other hand, I think, well, Lord, you know, why can't you just save just a few at least, you know? But again, how do I know what is good? I know. Yeah, it's right. Especially the ones like our Dorothy and my boys. They have sat under sound preaching for years and years, and I know Dale. Yeah, is. No. If they did, they'd be. And thankfully, you know, Joel is here, and at least Stephen, you know, he's there going to church. We may not agree with everything that they're doing, but they at least do profess to believe in the sovereignty of God, but two of them not going anywhere at all, you know. And then there's your grandchildren and your great grandchildren, and like Dorothy and I were talking this week, you know, most of our grandchildren, they haven't got an inkling about the truth of God. If you ask them, they wouldn't know how to answer you. I mean, if you ask them something about the Bible, they wouldn't know how to answer you. Why? Number one, because some of them have never been in church. And the second reason is some of them that have been in church, they haven't heard anything. You understand what I'm saying? Well, they haven't heard anything because nothing's being really preached. I mean, it hasn't been the whole counsel of God. We were talking about the glory of God's creation. How many children today have any background whatsoever to combat this thing of evolution? Very, very few. ever been up. Admonition of the Lord. No.
There's no fear of God. No sign that you're on the good and rich and those buttons can't get.
No. And it would mean less to them. That's it. Why?
When Jesus hanging on the cross,
when they stoned him to death. And that's the reason we can have compassion towards them, is because that they don't know what they're doing. And yet at the same time, we're praying, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come quickly. At least since Cain. That in itself makes you stop and think about yourself. You know, what is the difference? Who maketh thee the difference? You know, between why have I got more hope than he did? Lot more. But again, I hope you all understand what I'm saying or what I'm getting at here is that I believe that this thing of being a Christian is going to be a lot more difficult in the coming days and years, if God delays His coming, than what we have ever experienced before. there, and we're going to have these questions to wrestle with, because we are told specifically, I mean very pointedly, that the wicked are going to increase, and they're going to get worse and worse. And we're told, in fact, that God is going to, He's going to remove that which has inhibited or hindered, if you will, this anti-Christian spirit. And when He does, what's it going to be like? I mean, if He has been hindering this anti-Christian spirit, what's going to happen when he's not hindering it? It has to be. But, you know, that's... Yeah. For the lawless, right? But... No. He's going to do it by the Spirit. But He's not going to do it by the law. But when this Spirit, and I believe that's what it is, the Holy Ghost, is just going to step out of the way, so to speak. And this lawlessness then, and that's what the spirit of Antichrist is. It's pure lawlessness. And when that happens, then there is going to be total chaos, but it's going to put us in a position like we have never known before, especially in this nation. And we may have a lot of different ideas, again, about just what is going to happen. And the truth is, as far as details are concerned, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know this, that the wicked are going to increase. They're going to deceive and be deceived. And I know that the Lord has told us that these times are upon us, and they're coming more and more every day. And
so, Pastor, that's a precious thing to receive.
Yeah, I know.
It's
Both speak to those things.
As soon as it almost looks like it's over, this is coming.
Yeah. When they shall say peace and safety. It seems like, too, as far as the Christian church, and I think this is where it really gets down to you and to me. It seems like that as far as the church, the true church of God is concerned, it's going to look more and more and more like God has abandoned us.
Well,
We're going to have a church that long.
So.
In fact, you're going to have 2 people wanting to put other churches.
Yeah.
And I could walk right down the hall from my schoolhouse.
Yeah.
I probably named 2 or 3 people like this time. But the rest of them were worried about whether or not the country was going to be a good
fit. That's my point, then, is that these are all things that we need to consider seriously. Because I see them coming. I see them coming. They're at the door. As I understand it, if my perception is right, they're beating the door down. And I don't know. I believe that we're in that little season that the Revelation talks about. Yeah, and that's got to be our hope, and that's got to be our stay, is, again, that we do believe the report in spite of all of the persecution, in spite of all the ridicule, the reproach that's brought upon us, is that we hold to that report. No, he can't, and yet we are admonished to. We are right. We are constantly reminded of that. No, he can't. That's Isaiah 57.
It's been around a long time, but we know from the Bible it's like back and forth. You know,
nothing in it. And that's hard to believe.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm saying. And unless we believe that report, and it all comes back to that, then unless we believe that report, we're going to fail. We're going to fall. And unless, again, as we've said over and over, unless the arm of the Lord is revealed to us, that power of Satan is going to become so great until we, even ourselves, would be what? Deceived. And that's what that's talking about, folks. Is that's how bad it's going to get. Satan is going to appear. He already appears as an angel of light, but he's going to appear as the Savior. And you think, again, why? It wouldn't fool me. That person is a fool that thinks that. Absolutely. Yeah, and some of the most stupidest things as you've looked back on them. Never done. And yet you did. But thank God again that He causes us to walk in the fear of the Lord. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? For it is God that worketh in you. It's not you yourself. You don't do it. You can't do it. You will never be able to do it of yourself. But let him that thinketh again that he stands take heed lest he fall. What am I saying? I'm saying that the Christian life can only be lived by the faith of the Son of God. And so we ought to give thanks, and we better give thanks, and we will give thanks if we are His people, as we are His people. We will give thanks. There may be a lot of things that we desire that God will deny us. And I do believe with all my heart that many of those things that He will deny us could be indeed to the glory and praise of His name, just like it could have been that David's building of that temple will glorify God's name. But it's not the way that He intended for it to be. Now, again, exactly why? Well, you know, to some degree we do know, don't we? We know why He did not allow David to build that temple. Don't we? Or do we? Because David was a man of war. He was a bloody man. And that temple was to be built by a man of peace. Because God put him in that place.
He just got
herding sheep, minding his own business. Man, how complicated did it get? I made the statement when Dorothy and I left the Lutheran Church and went to the Baptist Church, you know what my declaration was? Pretty much. I said, I'm going to church. I ain't having nothing to do. I'm just going to go and enjoy the services. I ain't getting involved in it anymore. But you know how that ended up. So.
Even so, thou knowest not the works of God to make it all.
Yeah, that's true. And there's many more scriptures, again, that we could add to that. Though the wicked spring as the grass, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. I can't quote it exactly, but in Ecclesiastes 2. I know what the scriptures say, but again, knowing what it says and really believing it, some different thing. When it comes down to putting the Word of God into practice, folks, it's one thing for it to be rhetoric and another thing for it to be real. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. But then I read such scriptures that says that God is the defender of the poor, the widow, and the fatherless. And yet, it seems like God not defending, you know. But He is, isn't He? He is. But it's just that we have so much of a problem looking at things the way God looks at them. May the Lord give us grace, though. And again, I'm not one just to, you know, just to say, oh well, that's whatever will be, will be. I don't believe that's sovereignty of God. That's fatalism, is right. My Bible says, shall I hide anything from Abraham? No, He's not going to hide anything from Abraham. My Bible says, we're not in darkness, but in light. And so, you know, I understand that the secret things belong unto God. But I also believe that understand that those things that are revealed belong unto me and my children. I need to understand as much as God will give me. I need to understand not only that it's going to happen, but why it's going to happen. Because I believe it's in understanding why that we're going to stand. There's lots of people in this world today that I believe understand what's going to happen. My Bible says that basically the whole world is going to be, their hearts are going to be failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. But what's going to make us stand? They're not going to stand. Their hearts are failing. But what's going to make us to be at peace in our heart? Yeah. It's knowing God. It's the knowledge of God. And that is not just knowing of Him. It's knowing Him. And I need to understand in order to stand. May God give us grace that we're, again, not just going through these verses of Scripture as a matter of routine. Because that's what most churches are doing, if they're doing it at all. But folks, this is our life. It is our life. If we don't live by this, we won't live. We cannot live. I hope you understand, you know, what I'm getting at. And I think it is good for us to discuss these things and talk about them. Sometimes I do believe, as Brother Jerry talks about oftentimes, that it is good for us to discuss things. I do believe in the preaching of the gospel, and I do believe that for the most part, the preaching of the gospel is just that. It's preaching. But we do need to admonish one another, don't we? Forsaking not the assembly of ourselves together, but exhorting one another. And why? Because that day is coming, isn't it? And we see it.
Praising the Lord together or something. And he said, we need that. I mean,
in agreement with you and,
yeah.
And all here.
Well, we could probably spend a lot more time on these things, but hopefully it's been good. So, if there's anything else, we will certainly entertain it. All right, sir.
I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
All right. Number 300.